So what was your impression to work together with Lars von Trier?
Well, I guess I didn't realise because I've collaborated with so many people and I'm from the punk generation, which sort of are the building blocks of me, how I work with people. And obviously was part of the Sugar Cubes and my they're still, you know, the ground stones of my friendships today. And the whole thing was very much about anarchy and nobody tells another person what to do and each person... Can I give me a mixer? Let me avoid the emotional context of this. No, sorry. There you go. So I didn't realise that even though I felt I was working with completely different characters, and it's always been my biggest turn on to sort of become the other half of someone, say like Michel Gondry, who I did 6 videos with and now is doing his first film. And he's editing it now, so I'm really following closely on that process. It's very exciting. And then obviously with people like, even film directors in Iceland who are my generation, and people like Spike, people like Chris Cunningham, you know, people like... So to work with these people, it's never really, you don't even discuss the control factor, because you're friends anyway, and you just respect. Like, there's certain things when Chris is doing a video for me, I wouldn't even dream of like going into certain areas because they just belong to him. And there's certain areas, and it's mutual, it's both ways. So what happens is that there's an unwritten law that gives both partners maximum freedom, but in moments of crisis, when he's having problems, I become very strong and protect him. And when I have a moment of crisis or whatever, he becomes strong and protect me. So, I mean, but it's not even that conscious. I've never had to think about these things. They just kind of come very naturally. And also the musical relationships I've had that maybe been most intimate, like, say, with Nelly Hooper or with Mark Bell. I mean, it's a very, very... natural and very happy atmosphere always on set, and people are cracking jokes all the time, and even though we're doing sad songs, you know. So for me to be introduced to Lars and his group of people, the people that he's worked with for 20 years, so it's a very close-knit family, it was very clear to me that they are from a very different, for me, it seemed it's a very hierarchy, you know, and it's very like, sort of, you know, felt like at times that he was a bit of Napoleon Bonaparte and I was a bit of Pippi Longstocking, you know. So kind of fighting for human rights, you know. And so, just like little things like people that help you, like all the other people on set, like maybe that's also just to do with me coming from a country like Iceland where taxi drivers, you know, eat hot dogs with presidents in the main street, and also being a country that was a colony for 600 years. So we don't have any hierarchy. We are a little bit similar to the Irish in that sense that I mean, I've noticed it sometimes when I visit U2 when they are touring. And they have 400 people, but they have so much power, but they're terrified of it. They don't use it. You know, it's. I think it happens with countries that have been oppressed for so long. Is they have an inbuilt distaste for power. You know, and that sort of arrogance. But I've seen also places where it really works. You know, like in England, I love working in England. You know, it's. But it sort of works inside that system, you know, like you have like, I mean, and then in Japan too. I mean, you must have heard that for a lot of Europeans who come to Japan, they just watch everybody work like a lubricated machine, and it's like, you know, in Iceland, no way, forget it. I mean, the president used to say that we've never had army in Iceland, and the reason is because we couldn't even march, you know. The two people to be the same, forget it. It's everyone has its own identity and own character in Iceland. I come from that sort of background.